in Acts 16. He met him at Lystra when he went over to preach and got stoned to death, and he rose up and God healed him. And the next thing you know, he run into Timothy. Boy, he spotted a jewel. And the scripture says in Acts 16, verse 4 and 5, said him he would have to go forth with him. And he took him and circumcised him, because of the Jews in that quarter, because they knew all that his mother was a Jewess and his father was a Greek. They had a mixed breed, you know, and they had to get him all fixed up to please all them religious proselytes. And after they got him all fixed up externally, he already was fixed up internally. His mama and grandma had seen to that. But he hadn't been circumcised, so they had to fix it up with them old arguers and debaters and libertines and proselytes and mimickers and everybody. You always got them in the church around you, you know, that's pretending. You got to put up with them, however, you know. Well, he spotted a jewel, and he took that young man with him, and he says, I know you. Said, from a child, said, you've known the Holy Scriptures. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the only way you're going to save your child from this untoward generation, is to teach your children the Word of God when they're little. And don't tell them about Zacchaeus climbed up a sycamore tree. They won't ever remember the Scripture. All they remember is him. And in their mind, they'll have a cute little imagination of Zacchaeus, a wee little man, climbing up a sycamore tree. That ain't going to save nobody. And don't tell them about Jonah swallowed a whale, or a whale swallowed Jonah. That ain't going to do them a bit of good either. You better tell them about how he preached to Nineveh and they repented and got right with God. Lord, have mercy, I've never seen a bunch of foolishness going on teaching children with these old puppets and these little old dolls and things. Oh, the children don't understand. Yes, they do understand. You teach them the Word of God and they'll lap it up just like a kitten drinking milk. You ever seen a little old kitty just time it? You don't even get his eyes open. He can lap up milk before he's ever born good. Your children, I know the Bible. Praise God. That's why Joel said in Joel 2 and on down in verses 14 and 15 and 16, he said, bring all the congregation before the Lord and fast and pray with mourning and weeping. Bring the elders. Bring the bride. Bring the bridegroom. Bring the children that are still on the breast. What does God want the children out there in the house of God for? Because that Word of God penetrates. And even as a child, they begin to grow up with that respect and the Holy Ghost working on that little old baby, just like Samuel. Praise God, when he gets to be frying size, he's already listening to that little voice that even mom and daddy maybe couldn't even hear. God have mercy, get them sensitive to the voice of God. Get them sensitized while they're little so they won't have an old heart that's calloused and is insensitive to that little voice that will speak to give them direction. All right, the Bible says in Proverbs 14 and 1, a wise woman buildeth her house, but a foolish woman will pluck it down with her hands. There's a lot of these scriptures in the Bible. In 1 Timothy 5, 14 and 15, the scripture says, look at this real carefully. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. Some, yeah, and good, but many. And that's true today. People don't want to take the responsibility to the children. They like to get children. They like the loving. They like the sex part. But they don't want the responsibility that God says is theirs for having them children. It's easy to get a child, but my God, what a responsibility to teach and train that child in the nurture and admonition of God, to quit your honeymooning and get out into business and try to keep them children from being a little devil and going to hell is another problem. And it's a daily problem, and it's a full-time problem, and there's no honeymooning, and there's no escapades, and there's no holidays away from it. You can't keep them to take them to Disney World and take a day off when you don't teach them or nothing else. God have mercy, more junk. Want to take them to the beach. They got to go to the, Silver Springs, or they got to see so-and-so. Let me tell you something. When your children get big, them things won't mean two hoots and a whirlwind to them. God says it's vanity. Then in chapter 12, verse 1, he said, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when you'll say, I have no pleasure in all that mess. I didn't have no pleasure in them. In the last two verses of that chapter 13 and 14, Ecclesiastes 12 said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And God recommends and exhorts in Proverbs 23, verses 17 and 18, he says, let not thine heart envy sinners. Don't look around worrying about what sinners are doing and be envious because they can go and come and have pleasure and see all the sights and go on the vacations and tour all the old hootenannies and medicine shows and pleasure spots. Fill on those things. Don't let your heart envy sinners. But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Then as faithful parents, we must discipline our children to get them on the right track. God said in Proverbs 13 and 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him many times. Proverbs 19 and 18 says, chasten thy son while there is yet hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Proverbs 22 and 15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. That's where they get spare the rod and spoil the child. And that's just what a lot of parents have done. Proverbs 23, 13 and 14, withhold not correction from the child, for if you beat him with a rod, he won't die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Isn't it worthwhile to put the scourging on his little hide? Of course it is. Proverbs 29, 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. You remember that. So that always brings shame to a parent. It's the reason some of you parents has got shame. You didn't put that rod on the backs of some of them little knockers that's breaking your heart right now. That's a warning to the rest. God said in Hosea 4 and 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I've rejected you. And seeing you've rejected the law of your God, I've... I forgot your children. You don't think God can forget your children. You got another thought coming. It's up to parents to provide that legacy of faith and blessing. And if you don't provide it, those children will suffer from spiritual malnutrition and starvation and defeat and death. It's up to us to do the providing for our children instead of always wanting them to provide for us here in this end time.